They're so extra, and they're so Christmas. They're so Xmas.
I like to turn my mic so I can look at you.
Aww.
Welcome, Chrysanthemum Cliff.
I don't know if I can turn my mic enough to look at you, so I'm just going to have to stare over here. It'll be all right.
You don't have to turn your mic to look at me. I don't know if you're familiar with the Papaya podcast.
Absolutely not.
I follow the Birds Papaya on Instagram, and she recently had a guest, and they were talking about the best way to communicate, and apparently looking someone straight in the eye is not the best way to communicate. It is side by side, which is effective if you're in the car or if you're taking a walk together.
Or if like you're in one of those sitcoms where they have to put everyone on one side of the table so they can film it.
Yes. So the reason why I bring this up, everything ties back to Christmas. So if you're having family conflicts, maybe instead of sitting across the table from each other this holiday season, whether it's Thanksgiving or Christmas time, take a nice walk together. Don't tell your family that you're manipulating them into having a healthy conversation, but just suggest a nice crisp walk.
There's nothing wrong with manipulating your family. It's fine.
I think they like it. Kind of
secretly.
Like a dog likes to be trained, right? So you have come with all the research, and I'm just going to talk about myself. That's kind of our dynamic.
I think that's our personality types more than anything. I'm a very methodical. I like to have a list of things, bullet pointed maybe.
Yes.
I don't have bullet points today, but it's okay. They're bullet pointed in my head.
Well, I know what you're talking about. One is pickles.
Yes.
And one is Harry Potter's house.
That's kind of my two things.
I'm going to be talking about holiday travel and dog rescue. What should we start with? What is the most intriguing, the pickles or the Potter?
Pickles. Do you like pickles?
Yes.
Okay. Dill pickles or sweet pickles?
I like all the pickles. So when I'm on a diet, I eat the sour dill pickles because they're not as many calories.
Really?
And
I guess that makes sense.
The one time I went to, it wasn't even a Costco, it was called Sam's Club.
Yeah, yeah.
I bought three giant glass jars of pickles, and that is all I bought there.
Wow.
And I went there exactly one time. I've never been to a Costco, although other people go to Costco.
I just got a Costco card. We could take a trip. There's one just over there.
Are we going to have...
They do cool Christmas stuff.
We should podcast from the Costco, from the decorations area, live. We should do a live podcast. It'll be like a FARC party. You know, the FARC.com?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where you just have a pop-up FARC party.
We could live stream it on Instagram.
We could do this.
Perfect.
Costco, we are coming. Prepare yourselves.
It's going to be great. All right, so pickles. I knew this was there was a great intro to pickles. It was great. I knew that there was a tradition around a pickle ornament, right?
Yes.
But I had no idea what this was.
Okay.
And I was at Disney World a month or two ago. And in a pavilion in Epcot, there were all these pickle ornaments for sale. And I'm like, what is up with these pickle ornaments? Probably a dozen different ones, just like regular pickles, pickles of different colors, pickles with little Santa hats on them. I'm like, what's the deal? And then behind one of the Christmas trees decorated in pickles, there was a sign, the tradition of the pickle ornament. According to German tradition, the pickle brings good luck and was the last ornament placed on the tree. On Christmas morning, the first child to find the gherkin, which I guess is the German name for pickle, was rewarded with an extra little gift by St. Nicholas. This tradition encouraged the children to appreciate all the ornaments on the tree rather than hurrying to see what St. Nicholas had left for them. And I think that's awesome.
This is so awesome. And I have so many thoughts. And it's kind of synergistic that we're talking about this today because there's a guy that works in our building named Corey Dillon.
Sure.
And this morning I'm all bouncy, bubbly, haven't slept, in the elevator, being wacky. And I was like, it's fun that your name's Corey Dillon. It could have been Corey Gherkin. Ha ha. And then here we are talking about pickles. And I'm wondering at this pavilion in Disney.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how all cartoons nowadays have jokes that are aimed at adults and go over the heads of children.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how many adults walk into that pavilion and say, is that a pickle on that tree or are you just happy to see me?
The thing you've got to remember about Epcot, right, is Epcot's one of the very few places on Disney property, historically anyway, that you can drink.
Yes.
And so like people drink around the world. They go get a drink at every single pavilion. So I would guess that answer is a lot.
I know, because there's a big adult constituency that likes to party it up at Disneyland. Speaking of the adults at Disneyland, I'm derailing a little bit, but did you see the article about how there's a group of parents that are angry at the entitled millennials that show up at Disney who do not have kids, who ruin it
so much
for parents with kids?
Yeah, it's the dumbest thing in the entire world. And the funny thing is like this is the second time that that's gotten press. Like that actually happened like 2 years ago where this crazy lady wrote this uppercase, hey, I'm Karen, scranting
Karen
thing about all these people showing up to Disney about kids. And now she has to wait in line with her kids. I'm like, just don't have kids or don't come to Disneyland. Like those are your options, lady.
Well, and part of me, when I see people complain about that stuff, I'm like, you don't understand how this works, Karen.
No.
If you wanted shorter lines at Disneyland and fewer people, your tickets would be 10 times as expensive. Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. Every time I read that article, it just makes me angry because I was that person. I was that person for 10 years who went to Disneyland once or twice a year and didn't have kids. And now I go back with my kids and it's great. And yeah, the lines suck, but that's part of going to Disneyland. It's fine.
So are you going to be hiding a pickle on your Christmas tree this year?
You know, I didn't buy one, and in retrospect, I feel kind of bad about it, but I assume you can buy those at just like a Christmas store, right?
You could probably go to Amazon right now and find...
I don't need a Christmas store. I've got Amazon. When we go to Costco for our decoration run, we'll see. Maybe they have like an 18-pack of Christmas pickles.
Yeah. And... I mean, the artist in me wants to... take an actual pickle, cover it in resin, and make an ornament out of a real pickle. When I was in college, I dabbled in the concept of being a professional artist, and my medium was weird. Like anything of the strange variety. I don't know.
When you say weird, were you like one of those art students who found roadkill and took it back to your place and like boiled it to get the bones to make art out of it?
Not too far off base.
Love it.
I made bookends.
Nice.
Out of plaster. They were little kitten bookends out of plaster, but then I hollowed out the eyes, filled them with caviar, and then covered it in resin, actual caviar. I also got a couple of salmon tails, dried them out, covered them in resin, made angel wings out of them for an installation. So I took fish. I took fish I lived in an apartment because I was in college with a balcony, and most college students stand out on their balconies and either smoke things or drink things. And I was out on the balcony pouring resin onto fish.
Your college experience sounds amazing. I always commuted to college, like, so I never did anything with resin or fish. It's a disappointment.
Yeah.
I'm still in college, though, so it's not too late. I could still do that.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Do we get to watch you walk down the...
Next December.
So December 2020, yeah. You get the 2020 vision.
Yep.
I love it. Okay, so I derailed us.
That's all right.
Apologies.
That's what podcasts are for.
Are they?
I think so.
Awesome.
You were going to talk about yourself.
I know. Well, I've been talking about myself this whole time.
It's okay.
Sometimes you like to applaud my transitions to things.
It's
so
good.
Speaking of college, which is when my dog rescue career started.
I love how much you love dogs and rescuing them. I think that's great.
Well, here's how it ties into your Christmas and holiday experience. So one of the things that I like to do is when I'm traveling, I like to bring a rescue dog back to Seattle with me. Seattle has a large transport system where... overcrowded shelters in other areas will send dogs here where they have a better chance of being adopted. And they definitely have a shorter wait.
Yeah. I think if you don't know Seattle, my favorite statistic about Seattle is that there are more dogs than there are kids here. People literally have more dogs than they do children.
That is true.
It's a great ratio.
And you have both.
I have both.
You have one of each.
Yeah. You have three and zero.
Well, my dogs are union, so they have to work on shifts. So each takes an 8-hour shift, 24 hours a day.
That's rough. That's a bad joke.
So anyway, if you're not familiar, we have a great shelter system here in the Pacific Northwest. We bring dogs in, and maybe you want to help with that. Maybe you're not into it as a regular volunteer, but you want to help in a way that's convenient for you. So perhaps you are flying to Seattle to visit someone, you live in Seattle, or you're flying through Seattle, and you're touching base somewhere else that might have a shelter overcrowding problem. A lot of times I pick up dogs on a connection in Atlanta. That's where the Delta hub is. So there's a lot of Delta connections in Atlanta. Other times I pick up dogs in Dallas. That airport is crazy. So plan ahead if you're going to do it there.
Shoot, that's where I'm going.
That airport's just very large and spread out and you have to take trams. So they say if you're going to leave the airport and come back in and check in a dog, you need 3 hours. I would give yourself 4 in Dallas. But a lot of times when you're doing flights, it's cheaper if you're doing that 4-5 hour layover somewhere. And this is a really cool thing. So basically just go to Facebook, reach out to rescue groups in that area, send them a message, say, hey, would you maybe want to find a 20 pounds or less dog and get them a health certificate at the vet and meet me at the airport? 100% of the times I have done this, they have said, yes, I would love to do that. And then I've reached out to the local shelters in my area here, which I already know and work with them. But once upon a time, I didn't know and work with them. And I reached out for them for the first time and said, hey, would you like a dog from Dallas? Could you take one dog? Almost every single time, a shelter can get you one dog, or a shelter can take one dog. One is easy.
Sure.
So if you're flying, it's usually about $125 for that carry-on fee, as long as they've got their health certificate. They are under 20 pounds with the carrier, and they are at least 12 weeks old for some airlines, 6 weeks for others. You can just bring them on the plane. And every dog that I have flown, I've met, you know, immediately before we get on the plane, and they ride really well. They don't make woofs. Everything is good.
And you've got a dog on the plane.
And everybody's happy. I mean, I have never gotten more attention in an airport. I recently went on vacation and I brought a dog back with me. I always try to.
Sure.
So I had this dog named Tina, who was a Chihuahua mixed with like a bulldog. She had an underbite.
Her super cute.
Little bottom teeth stuck out. There were so many people that fell in love with her just walking through the airport. And it was so much fun because when I started talking to people, I told them what I was doing, because there's questions. Do you fly with this dog all the time? How long have you had her? Well, we just met 15 minutes ago and she's a rescue dog headed to Federal Way, Washington. She already has an adopter, and people get so excited and interested. And then when they see you doing it and they see after a little bit of planning, it's very easy to execute. People get excited about it. So if 1% of the holiday travelers thought about taking a dog with them, think about how many dogs we could save.
That'd be cool.
That's my thing.
I love it.
Should we talk about Harry Potter?
We should talk about Harry Potter. There's no transition between rescue dogs and Harry Potter.
Well, good names for dogs in the Harry Potter world are Hufflepuff.
Oh, that's good.
That would be a good little poodle name.
Yeah,
Hufflepuff.
I like it a lot.
Okay.
That was good. That was really good.
Thanks.
So if you love Harry Potter, do you love Harry Potter?
I actually do. I read all the books
nice.
When they came out.
Perfect. So if you love Harry Potter, then you know one of the best people in the Harry Potter universe is Hagrid, right?
Mm.
Big, tall dude, great beard, lives in a cottage on the grounds, his groundskeeper cottage. And in a little town called Saltburn by the Sea, and I didn't know this before I read this, but now I desperately want to live in a town that has like 7 hyphens in the name, because it is literally Saltburn hyphen by hyphen the hyphen sea. It's great. It's in England. They have a guest house that I would guess is normally like an Airbnb kind of thing. It is called the Groundskeeper's Cottage, and it is designed to look exactly like Hagrid's house in the Harry Potter movies. It's fantastic. The details are incredible. And for €1, which is about $1.10 in the United States, you can enter a contest to spend 7 nights in the groundskeeper cottage. It's also going to, of course, cost you however much it takes to fly to England. Through the end of October, October 31st, you can spend $1 to enter this contest. You get 7 nights in this amazing cottage. It's for 4 adults, 2 children.
So if you are a single couple and you win this, you have to invite either Cliff or I to join you.
Or both.
Well, both of us, but I think your wife would find it odd if you and I went on a cottage
will
UK
she,
getaway.
She looks pretty young. We'll dress her down so she looks like a child. And I have another child. It'll be fine.
They're not going to give us their whole prize, though. They're going to split their prize with
Probably,
us.
Probably, yeah. Okay.
We'll enter two, though.
Okay, that's fine. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, you get a warm Northshire welcome. You get like a Christmas hamper full of delicious Christmas goodies. You get to meet Hedwig,
yes.
which is not the real Hedwig, I don't think. It's just another owl that looks like him, but it's still an adorable snow owl. Apparently, there's a local Harry Potter impersonator that lives in the village, and he will come and have tea with you.
Can we buy property here? Is there a timeshare?
I would love to. Apparently, if you want to stay in this place, it's normally like $365 a night, which is still not bad. If you find yourself in Salton by the Sea, this might be a fun little one or two night stay. But you get all this stuff, plus Santa will come to your house and bring you presents while you're there. So it's great. 7 days of that. The cool thing is even if you don't win the first prize, the second prize is still getting to go there. It's three nights in the cottage. If you win third prize, it's still getting to go there. Two nights in the cottage. So
this is first, second, and third prize are all very, very good.
You have to be willing to go, though, between the 22nd and the 29th. Like, that's your stay. So you are going to spend Christmas at this amazing Hagrid cottage. So we'll put the URL to the contest in the show notes because everyone should go do this. It sounds so fun.
Well, this is more my jam than Disneyland for Christmas. This sounds like the kind of crazy Christmas whimsy.
Right.
That is right up my alley.
And not as crowded as Disneyland, maybe. So
whereabouts is like
Salton by the Sea?
It reminds me, I know we've got some listeners in Utah. What up, Utah, in the house. It feels like a plural marriage last name hyphenation.
Oh, that is a good possibility. I'm trying to find out where it is. Let's see. Salton by the Sea, UK. It is in the United Kingdom, obviously. It is... Oh, it's right on the coast. So you're super close to probably in December, a very, very cold ocean.
Is it like on the Brighton side?
It is on, it's just kind of a ways north of Leeds. It's on the far east side of the UK. So,
oh, it's opposite Isle of Man.
Yeah.
I want to go to Isle. There are 87,000 people on the Isle of Man. In the podcast data, when we get the reports from this, you can see where people are listening, and we've gotten some hits at Isle of Man. So shout out to you. We want to see you soon and eat Cadbury chocolate Christmas houses with you. Talked about that on the 925 episode. We're really happy that you joined us for this bonus episode in October because we are amping up into our Christmas marathon.
Christmas for us is, you know, that big football game that happens in February. It's big and cool, but we can't say its name. That's what Christmas is for us.
Yes. So we'll be back on the 25th with more content for you. November, we got four episodes. And then in December, an episode every single day.
No, that's just the first of the 25th. Or do we go all the way through the 31st?
In the past, we have done through Christmas Day. So we've done 25 episodes. Now, Cliff, you know, it's a brave new world, you and I. We're a new team. You're half of the decision making. So we're going to decide what makes sense for you. I do want to remind you that because of Cliff, we have social media channels.
We do.
The graphics you're making are beautiful.
Thank you.
They're very festive. I'm liking the Instagram.
We're So Xmas on Twitter and Instagram.
And then Christmas All Year.
Yep.
On Facebook. If you go to our Facebook page, you'll see some content about Iceland and how they celebrate. Books are exchanged on Christmas Eve, and then the rest of the night is spent in bed reading those gifted books.
I love that so much.
It sounds so cozy. Mm-hmm.
Probably in Iceland you need it to be cozy, too, because it's probably freezing outside. Well, or Iceland's the one that's actually not real cold, isn't it?
Iceland is where they have the Blue Lagoon, so it's all of the self-care, the relaxation of that, plus the intellectual self-care, because in Iceland, they publish more books per capita than any other country.
Wow.
And part of it is this tradition.
That's amazing. I love that.
If you're very techie, you can just share this podcast with your friends instead of exchanging a book.
You should do that. It's the perfect gift. It's the gift that keeps on giving.
It's true. We'll be back on the 25th. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.